Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You know how everything seems like a good idea after you've had a few? Yeah, that's this show. Riding in my car. And I'm listening to the radio. It's time for Dukes and Bell.
Oh, someone told me it's the Black Beverly Hills. Is that true?
Driving in Atlanta just got a whole lot more bearable.
Welcome to the party, pal.
Hi, everybody. Carl Dukes and Mike Bell. The names that mean goodness.
Say my name, you know who I am.
Carl Dukes.
I drink, and I know things.
Don't question my authority, thanks.
King Kong ain't got on me.
Sometimes you just gotta call somebody, and I'm not ashamed to say it. You know,
And Mike Bell.
I'm funny how? I mean, funny like I'm a clown, I amuse you.
Hope you guess my name.
Bring a pitcher of beer every 7 minutes till somebody passes out, and then bring one every 10 minutes, right?
Get ready for the best 5 hours of your life.
Fat, drunk, and stupid is no way to go through life, sir.
Don't believe me, just watch.
This is Dukes and Bell.
You know what? Why don't we start doing the stuff that other guys have done on other radio shows around the country?
No.
On Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
Atlanta! What is going on? It is Dukes and Bell on Sports Radio 92.9, The Game. We start off every day and every hour by saying, hey, man! It is good to have you listening. Hump day on a Wednesday as we head towards the weekend. I will say this, everybody around the country, and I've already had people calling me asking me about the Dogs and Notre Dame, Mike. It is obviously the premier game coming up this weekend. A lot of high expectations as to what this game's going to be. But I give you credit, man, because I ran into a couple of guys, or should I say I was texting with a couple of friends of mine, college football guys, and they feel the same way you do. And we're going to talk plenty about this game today. And as we get into Athens on Friday, we'll be at Grindhouse Killer Burgers right there on Lumpkin, guys, inviting you guys to come out and hang out. Midday show will be there as well, Andy and Randy. But we'll pick things up at 2 o'clock. But they were like, Dog's going to run the ball down their throat. This is not even going to be fun. Like, everybody that I'm talking with is expecting the Dogs to dominate. And you've been saying this. You just don't think they're going to be able to keep up.
Yeah, and you don't want to sound like a homer. I mean, I know we live here in Atlanta, and we got tons of Dog fans can hear us out in Athens. I'm not trying to play that card because some people just do that over the top. I just don't think Notre Dame can match the talent. Now, if you turn the ball over just like the Falcons did in week one, then everything goes out the window. Then Jake Farm's got to throw it 30 times, and everything you want to do won't happen. I mean, they got Ian Book, who's a real big playmaker. Look, they've got guys, okay? It's not like it's a bunch of schlubs. But, I mean, I just think, and this is not because we're preconditioned, Carl, every time Notre Dame goes up against an elite power team, how they get smoked. Now, they did certainly do better against Clemson than Alabama did, one could argue, in the Final Four last year. But still, I just don't see them coming down here to Athens and being able to go man-to-man with the kind of hombres that now Kirby has assembled in the last couple of seasons.
Yeah, and the other interesting thing is, you know, I think we really haven't even seen what potential firepower Jake Fromm has on the outsides because he hasn't had to use it. I mean, you've seen Pickens and company catch a few balls, and we've all been wowed by it, but you haven't even seen that because they haven't had to do that. The thing is, they have the ability to do that, and Mike, we've said this, against the Alabamas, if you get to the SEC championship game or maybe even the Floridas down the road, you're going to have to be able to throw those balls and complete those passes. But they haven't had to do that against lesser opponents early in the season. So I also think there's an element that the Dogs have just kind of been sitting on. And, you know, like we said, if you can run the football, run clock, win a game by 30, you do that. So interesting stuff, man, from people around the country talking about this game. As I mentioned, we'll be in Athens on Friday. Tomorrow, guys, we're at Murph's. Now, here's the thing. It's a business person special over at the ballpark, but when the game is over, come on through. We'd love to get a chance to see you over at Cobb Galleria.
Yeah, because I said that yesterday, and I was like, oh, yeah, that's a 12:10 first pitch. So on the way back, come by and see us. Or if you're just in that neck of the woods getting off work, just swing right in, get your parking validated, hang out with us, and have a great burger. Today, I believe, is National Cheeseburger Day, and they've got a burger that you will just love over at Murph's. So we'll see you guys tomorrow, man, and hopefully talking, hopefully, fingers crossed, maybe that the Braves have already clinched the division.
It would be nice. It really would. I want them to get this thing wrapped up as soon as possible, as we talked about. And not because of any particular reason. It'd be nice to do it against a divisional foe.
Right.
You know, the Giants come in over the weekend, and maybe it happens Friday or Saturday. But it'd be nice to do that and be done with this. And then, again, we can turn the page. We do have a lot of Braves info and a lot of stuff to get to when it comes to our Braves. We invite you to follow us, guys, social media. all platforms, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. Follow us at 929 The Game. That's the radio station. Mike Bell, ATL, and I'm at Put 'em Up. See Dukes, the radio show is Dukes and Bell 929. Before we get into some of that Braves conversation, I mentioned this at the start of the show yesterday, that Mike is dealing with some throat issues.
Right.
And you've been trying to figure it out. So literally today you texted me and you said that they got you in. What went down, man?
Yeah, I went to Atlanta Gastroenterology and saw Dr. Frist. And apparently they're going to stick a big camera down there and figure it out next month. Now, listen to this. I might have some kind of a hiatal hernia. My stomach moved.
What?
That's what I said. Now, I'm like, how does that happen? He goes, well, it happens sometimes. It just happens for some people. You know, being, you know, 30 pounds overweight doesn't help probably. But so they're going to move things around, hopefully, and get me right. So that's what's causing all that stuff to come up my pipe, come up the wrong way, because apparently everything's jammed up down there.
Gotcha.
So we think. And we're going to find out. They're going to give me some new meds. I'm already sounding better today.
Yeah.
So it feels good. Just want to, for you know, for you guys, I don't want to have to one day sound like normal, then the next day I sound like, you know, Frank.
Like this.
Right. Frank Pantangeli,
yes,
from Godfather 2. You know, it's like, drinking champagne cocktails. I don't want to sound like that. So, but anyway, appreciate your patience with it, because I know when I'm in the car and I listen to when I was a kid growing up, the shows that I like to listen to, you don't want to hear your guy not sound like the guy you want him to sound like.
Yeah, that's a
or gal.
Point.
But anyway, but good day today to figure out at least what's going on with this thing, man.
But bring in a computer. I am Mike Bell.
That's, I mean, I was going to say, use the Stephen Hawking vocoder thing, it'll be good to go. But yeah, man, it just, that's the other thing, because it's just scary because it is your moneymaker, you know, and you start you cannot read WebMD and all these websites, because Becky's like, stop reading this stuff, because everything ultimately goes, you click on one thing, well, it could be this, or cancer, and then, you know, you look at another thing, cancer, and you're like, Becky said, will you stop?
Yeah.
Stop being such a fatalist. But that's the thing, when you start monkeying around on the internet with stuff,
scares
and then
you
start becoming a hypochondriac, and then the things become sort of self-sustaining, where you get so, like, was it psychosomatic? Where, like,
everything
my
is.
My throat hurts. And then all of a sudden, you know, just it's 10 times worse. You're better off. Ignorance is bliss. Anyway, appreciate you, because in the last like year and a half, I've sounded like, well, strange at times, but appreciate your patience.
Yeah, man. Back and forth. I think I'll say this too, because we go to games, lots of them. That doesn't help, because, you know, at games, and one of the reasons why we go to games the way we do as fans, and we, you know, pay the freight, as we say, is because I do want to yell, you idiot!
Right.
And sometimes that, you know, that bears on your voice and it gives you a little problem.
And I have to admit, as we were leaving the Falcons game, I was taunting Eagles fans. I was that guy. You know, fly home, you blanker blankers. But yeah, so.
Now, wait a minute. Speaking of Eagles fans, is it true that there were some accidents around town?
Yes. No joke. I talked to a buddy of mine who's a police sergeant in the APD now. But anyway, he was saying, yeah, man, you'll be happy to know there were, again, I'll leave his name out, but there were dozens of Eagles fans involved in scooter accidents over the weekend. As I was rolling down to United, and we took Uber down to the United match on Saturday, you saw a lot of Eagles fans downtown by the Hard Rock, you know, down by, you know, by the Omni and everything else. And you saw them on scooters going through Centennial Park, and a lot of them being Philadelphia fans, not exactly the most physically fit. So, yeah, Carl, apparently there were dozens of Eagles fans taking headers and going butt over tea kettle on scooters over the weekend. So at least we won that area too, Carl. So it's not just on the football field, but in karma.
Yeah, I mean, what are you doing? How do you ride this thing?
Hey, Gina, it says I got to use a credit card. Of course, I ain't got one that works.
So, listen.
Can you use my debit card?
I don't wish that on anybody. I mean, well, Eagles fans, maybe.
Right.
But I don't wish those scooter accidents on anybody, Mike. We've talked about it. First of all, they're trying to regulate these things as best as possible.
Right.
But with that said, if you're coming to town, you're talking noise, you're obnoxious, you're an a-hole, then so be it if you have an accident.
Now, I mean, we do see a lot of people on these things. There was a convention as I was walking home last night here in Midtown. I saw a lot of people with lanyards and "Hi, my name is" on their shirts and suits. So, yeah, you never want to see some lady like, oh, I just had a pina colada over at Intermezzo. Let me hop on the scooter. Bad things are going to happen.
Yeah, that's not what I want to hear. It is Dukes and Bell, 404-741-0929. It's our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line.
And she didn't really sound like the secretary in Ferris Bueller's Day Off, but you get the idea.
I just got a chuckle out of the fact that multiple Eagles fans had accidents on those scooters.
Well, I mean, I saw one guy wipe out in Centennial Park. It was funny. I mean, I don't ride them. You remember you and I, we toyed around with the idea last year of going to a Hawks game.
And riding
the scooters.
Them. Yes.
And I just, honestly, I walk 7 blocks to work, because I know I need to lose a bunch of weight. Anyway. To me, I just think they look ridiculous. I just think you look ridiculous on them.
No, we didn't punk out. Listen, the traffic was bad that day.
Yeah.
We were going
we just,
down.
We just
caught
Marta. We took Marta.
We just caught Marta instead. It was, look, Marta's smarter, all right? I'm not getting hit on a scooter. Last thing you're going to hit.
Right.
Duke's hit on a scooter.
And that was the thing. At the moment of truth, Carl and I said, if you and I break a collarbone or even worse on a scooter, You know, Rodney Ho will have it in the paper. You know, it'll be, you look like an idiot. So that's why I've never taken the plunge on the scooter.
Yeah, man. All right, guys. We've got to talk about our Braves. We've got headlines coming up. Real quick shout out to Hop Knob. I stopped over there today. Mike had some time.
What's going on?
Nothing, man. They're carrying our brew. They're going to go pick it up. I was talking to the folks over there. You know, they've got a lot of, obviously IPAs and all kind of stuff. Stopped over at Tower today. Had to stop and get some stuff. So, yeah, man, they're carrying the brew, which is all good. As we say, you can try to get Hey Man L at your local package store, but if they don't have it, make sure you ask for it, and they'll try to get it for you. But, yeah, big shout-out to Hop Knob. So they're going to carry it. So if you go over there to Hop Knob right here off of Piedmont, make sure you ask for some Hey Man L. Hey, man, coming up, we're going to get a chance to talk to our tight end, Austin Hooper, in the 4 o'clock hour, guys, somewhere around 420, 425-ish, somewhere around there. Hoop will jump on with us.
When he gets done with practice, but, yeah, between, like, 420 and 430-ish, we'll be ready to roll with Hoop.
Yeah, and listen, he's doing his job, right? He's been good for us. He's catching the balls he needs to catch. I want to see this offense click. We made a big play to win the game. The right call was made. Matt recognizing all those things and all that stuff is out there. And we're going to let you hear from Dirk Cutter talking about how good Matt was when it came to recognizing what the Eagles were trying to do to us. But today we turn the page. And today we start getting ready for Indianapolis. So as the guys hit the field today up at Flowery Branch, this is about an Indy team that runs the ball well. Mike, they've got over 320 yards already. I think that's third in the NFL.
Right.
They are relying on Jacoby Brissett to throw the ball, but they're not solely relying on that.
And we talked a lot on Monday about how people around the country, ex-football players, guys, you know, analysts, guys like Larry Zonka saying, man, that was one of the hardest hitting games they've seen. You realize the Eagles basically shut down practice today up in Philly because they didn't have enough bodies?
Beat them up.
Basically, you know, Coach Peterson said, you know what, we'll just do a light walkthrough on some of the stuff and things we're going to do because, yes, some of those were soft tissue injuries like groin injuries for DeSean Jackson and stuff, but then there were some guys who just knocked the heck out of the game. And Carson Wentz obviously had some sore ribs all week. So, literally, they weren't even able to do a full practice today thanks to a Falcons Sunday night football game.
Fast and physical. Yeah, that's the way it looked on Sunday night. All right, man. Certainly want to hear from you guys. We got a lot to get to today. Also, we will talk about Atlanta United. Big match tonight against FC Cincinnati. Pregame at 7. Kick is at 7:30. I mentioned this the other day. We almost now have to win out when you talk about trying to get that bye, which would be the top seed in the East. Cincinnati, and then we take on San Jose Saturday the 21st. NYCFC Wednesday the 25th. And then you turn back around and you're going to Montreal after being at NYCFC. Those are the four matches left, and you talk about, Mike, where this team's going to end up. I just get the sense we're not going to get the top seed.
Yeah, we wanted to be at home. And like it all goes back to how we started the season. We started the season in a real bad form. It took a minute for us to finally get on track. Combination of everything we've talked about. Injuries, compressed schedule, learning DeBoer's system. You know, I mean, you know, it took pity almost half a season to finally, you know, get healthy and be right. So either way, we lost some games we should have won. We lost some games we should have tied. And that does come back to bite you. So, unfortunately, yes, we may have to go on the road. And let's hope that we can do what we did up in Portland, which I still think is our most convincing win. Darren said it was our home win against NYCFC this year. We got to go up to their place. Tiny little stadium jammed inside a field, I should say, jammed inside a Yankee Stadium. Yeah. It ain't going to be easy, big guy.
All right, man, we'll talk more about it along the way. It is Dukes and Bell. You're listening to Atlanta's number one sports show, guys. It's Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Oh, well, he's very popular, Ed. The Sportos, the Motorheads, Geeks, Bloods, Wastoids, Dweebies, they all adore him. They think he's a righteous dude.
It is Dukes and Bell. Hey, sign up if you've not already for the Rock and Jock Celebrity Bowling Tournament. I'm going to tell you more about it. But you got to go register on the website, first and foremost, at 92.9 The Game. Go to our events page. Got to register to be involved in it, and then we're going to have our individual teams, and you guys will be representing us, but you got to go register first.
So wait, you have your own team, and I have my own team?
That's what they're telling us, yes. I thought it was a Dukes and Bell thing, but they're saying Bell's going to have his team, I'm going to have my team, yeah. Bunk's going to have his team.
All right, Craig, you're on my team. Craig's on my team. I just drafted him. I just called dibs.
So Randy Mack's going to have his team. I mean, apparently that's what the deal is. But you got either way, you can't just, like, show up with your ball, all right, and your shoes and be like, yo, I'm here. You got to go register, and that way it becomes official and all that stuff.
You can't just come in like Jimmy Chitwood, like in Hoosiers, and just, like, lace them up and roll? All right.
You can't do that. And I know Craig carries his balls with him. You have multiple balls?
He's got three balls, Carl.
You got three balls?
Yeah, he came in. We were doing the show at the Thirsty Turtle up at, in Buford at Stars and Strikes up there, you know, after we do Falcons practice. And Craig rolled in one night, and literally I'm like, what is that? I'm like, what are you, a hitman? Like, you know, a violin case or something? He's got a three-ball bag. Hey, now.
Now, what determines, and I'm asking you this as if our audience can hear you, but
Isn't like the, you go with the heavy ball for your first roll and the lighter ball for more control in your second roll? I don't know. Let's find out.
Well, here's the deal. I'm not that serious of a bowler, and I'm not downplaying.
Craig, what's the purpose of this?
Hold on. I'm not downplaying the guys that are serious bowlers. I'm just not that serious of a bowler. I go and I have fun, and if I shoot 150 or whatever, great. Yes, what is the purpose? Because why would you have three balls? If you like one ball should be enough.
Well, the weight's all the same for different ones, except for your spare ball if you have something like that. I don't, because the way I bowl, it doesn't really matter to me. But the difference you have in balls is for lane conditions. So if it's more oily, you may want a ball that hooks a little bit more than the other one.
You know what? This conversation's over.
You're way too serious.
That's why you have different bowling balls that do different things. And you can drill them differently to react differently. Yes, so that's why you have different ones.
Bo just asked the question, who oils their balls up? I'm curious.
Well, the lanes are oiled
up.
So you wax. I know when I was a kid growing up, and I spent all my summers down at Nana's in Florida, we went to Sears, and that's where you got your bowling ball, and you got your bowling ball and your shoes.
Sears had everything.
And they had everything. And they drill the holes for you right there. Matt, they'd measure your fingers and all that. And you have to wax the ball, right? You're supposed to wax less friction to wax your bowling ball.
You do strip the – it's depending on what you want your ball to do. You can't – well, I don't believe we're having a bowling conversation. But, yes, you can strip the ball down to make it react more. Yes.
Okay.
So you see those little machines.
So was I wasting my time by waxing my ball?
You were definitely not wasting your time by waxing it.
All right.
But,
I learned – you hope you learned something today. For your bowlers, you probably know this.
Yes.
You're serious bowlers like Craig. But, yeah, lane conditions, so you have multiple balls.
Right.
And those balls are expensive.
Oh, yes, very expensive. And so,
by the way, you know, because I always joke around, my dad was a cop, my mom was a teacher. You know, I mean, I'm not like didn't grow up poor, I didn't grow up rich, but I did get spoiled rotten by Nana. Nana told her, that's why I went down every summer, Carl. It was the best. I go down with one suitcase, I come back with two.
Yeah.
You know, Catholic school, I'm the only kid who had a double-breasted jacket, you know, with the crest on it. So, you know, so Nana, I just wanted to say, because we always talk, yeah, grandma spoiled me rotten, but I only got one, but I still, Carl, only had one ball. This cat's got three.
Yeah, well, I guess I'm hood. I didn't own my own ball, okay? I go to the bowling alley, I have what they provide, all right? Whatever they have is what I use.
Well, the problem is if you're going to do it, you might as well do it right. So go through with the clown shoes and the house
and by the way, Carl, like,
there you go.
I had a monogram ball, an MJB.
I have a name written on them. Y'all see
who
my shoes.
Who are you people?
You see my shoes. My shoes are fire. So,
I had a ball, MJB, in between the holes. You had your initials on
it. But I will say this. So this is sort of like golfing in the sense that you've got to have all the equipment and
you've got to look the
part.
On drivers and putters. Yeah. The nerve to talk. Like, I go out there and grab something off just swing away.
Be quiet. All right, Craig, good stuff.
There he is. Now we learn again. But there are guys, I'm always amazed every time we do these bowling events, how many dudes come out and are serious as a heart attack like Craig with this stuff.
No, listen, I admire our serious bowlers, which brings us back to the Celebrity Rock and Jock Celebrity Bowling Tournament. It's going to happen September 25th, 4 to 7. I might as well fill in the blanks for you since we're talking about it. Celebrities Brian Jordan, Marquise Grissom, Muhammad Massaqua, Ronnie Brown, Jason Campbell, many more are going to be out there, as well as us, meaning the 92.9 The Game personalities, guys. Right. And then it's going to be a two-game bowling tournament with trophies and prizes, plus we're going to have a post-tournament ATL, Atlanta United, should I say, a party that's going to happen for the Five Stripes. So hang out after, even if you're not participating, and then if you just want to come and hang out and see what noise is being talked and who loses, you can do that too. Events page, 92.9thegame.com. Happy Bo? Let's hit some headlines.
Strap in, youngins.
Hitting the headlines with Dukes and Bell.
Yeah, I just had to get it in there. Bo was like, go and tell the people. Hey, man, let's hear from Brian Snicker. We lose last night. Our magic number remains a 3. We'll talk about Dallas Keuchel in just a second, and I'll let you hear from him. First, though, Snicker said, listen, late in this game, and Mike, I saw last night, we were both watching the game late, you felt like we had a chance to come back and do something. Snick said, I felt the same way.
It's happened so much here that you expect it. I mean, these guys come off the mat, they get the big hits, they never quit, they always put themselves in a position to win, and you always expect them to win, and that's a pretty good trait to have.
Yeah, it is. We've been one of the best teams, if not the best, in that area after the seventh inning, scoring more runs than anybody else. One of the reasons why you never count us out. As far as Keuchel's performance, Mike.
Oof, one bad inning, and it was bad. It looked like batting practice. Isn't that amazing how that happens like that? He's just rolling right along. He's got a low pitch count. You know, guys aren't getting the first inning. Nobody got even a ball out of the infield. And then kablooey. I mean, it just came apart. But to your point, I mean, at least Duvall goes yard, start the ninth. You got guys on. All of a sudden, the Donaldson pop-up just killed you. That's the one that just, dang. You thought you had it going there. Strikeout, I should say. He was looking at a sinker. I guess it was just kind of came right over the zone. I just thought when I saw that pitch, I thought Donaldson's going to crush this. It's going to be walk off. No, they made some pitches.
Philly's bullpen almost blew this though. Echevarria comes in, pinch hit home run. We just talked about the bench, Mike, And this is another guy. I mean, you know, what's his role potentially, and how do you view him? But here is Dallas Keuchel talking about you gotta limit the damage in an inning, and he didn't do it.
That's what I've been so good at, limiting damage and critical situations, and just didn't get done in the fourth, so it'll stay with me for a while. But you got to give them credit, too, so we'll get after San Fran.
I mean, the thing is, and I will say this, Carl, when you watch this, just especially on the last road trip up in D.C., then over to Philly, those are good teams. They got a lot of players, man. I mean, you know, we're talking about a guy that's going to be there for a decade and a half, you know, and Bryce Harper. You know, he's pretty good. You know, Reese, you know, he's had some struggles in the second half, but they've got a bunch of players just like the Nationals do. That's what it's a testament. It's not just about beating up on the hapless Marlins, okay? You earned this division this year.
Yeah. We're going to earn this division by winning this division. Magic numbers 3 again, combined wins, losses. It could happen as early as Thursday. We got to win. They got to lose. That would be nice. But they're back at it tonight.
It would be nice to celebrate at Murph's on Thursday.
Well, that's the thing.
Tomorrow, let's fingers crossed.
I would love to see that happen. It is Julio Teheran on the hill tonight. We're going to talk more about that matchup coming up. Meanwhile, we mentioned Atlanta United, guys. FC Cincinnati on the road tonight. Pre-game 7, kick 7:30. Here's Brad Guzan talking about that last loss. You really got to look at yourself first.
We got to look in the mirror first and foremost. We can talk tactics, this, that, and the other, but we weren't sharp. We weren't good enough, plain and simple, and there's no excuses for that. And we got to make sure when we step on the field, we get the job done.
Do they get the job done tonight?
I can't imagine them not. I know that Cincinnati's been a great story. Just like us in the expansion year, they've been filling the house up there. It's a Nippert Stadium where the Cincinnati Bearcats play. So until they get their own facility. I mean, you cannot lose. That'd be 3 in a row if you go back to the Philly loss.
That's right.
You know, the break for international competition. The Columbus game was inexplicable. I know we talked about no Barco, missing LGP's presence on the back line. And just not, for me, Carl, it's the want to. You came out in some of the losses, you just came out flat. You just came out where you had you go back and you look on the counter and we're out of position. And to me, that's just taking your opponent for granted because you know they still got guys capable of putting the ball in the net. We can't have a letdown against these dudes because then you're really going on the road and struggling. And then we might even get a playoff game if you lose a match like tonight.
I don't want to be limping into
the playoff game, I mean. Yeah.
I don't want to be limping in. And if you lose to Cincinnati tonight, that's sort of the mantra as far as how you feel about us right now. I asked Darren Eels just the other day, Mike, I want to ask you, do you think we've played our best soccer?
I thought, you know, there was a little bit there in the run. Even it's tough to quantify because it wasn't MLS competition. I mean, we look great against, you know, Club America in the Campeones. You know, we look great, obviously, beating up Orlando for the U.S. Open Cup. You know, but you go back, and to me, the best match, the NYCFC about a month ago, or less than a month ago, and then the Portland match on the road in a hostile environment.
Okay.
So, I mean, I would say, you know, a month of August, clicking. But now, September, we're monkeying around.
Yeah. You'll be able to listen tonight. More on this coming up. Five Stripes preview is on the way. It's Dukes and Bell. It's our headline segment, guys. Let's hear from Kirby Smart, because when you schedule these games, you know, when you're recruiting a kid, believe it or not, part of the sale is not only what you're going to be able to do when you get to campus and how much playing time you get and snaps and all of that, it's who's on the schedule. And when you're able to go 2 years ago, you know, knowing that you were going to get a home and home with Notre Dame and the Dogs went on the road, now a lot of those kids, Mike, you told when you were recruiting a few years ago, you're going to get a chance to play at home in Athens in front of everybody and you get Notre Dame. Well, Saturday's the day, and Kirby talked about these games, these big games.
There's been a lot of big games, and I think that's what is great for the kids. I mean, you don't have a ton of top 10 matchups, maybe the caliber of this one, but there's a lot of top 25 matchups been played in that stadium. So it's a great opportunity for our program, and to be on a national stage, it's a great opportunity.
Now, you and I were talking about should we be able to talk confidently, speak confidently that, you know, yes, Georgia's just got big boxcar runs over little boxcar. They've got too many weapons for Notre Dame. Well, I read an article today, again, in Chicago, because Chicago guys, you can read papers in South Bend, but Chicago writers cover the Irish. Guess what they're starting to dust off already?
What's that?
Well, you know, when the breaks are beating the boys, Carl. Everyone says we can't get it done.
Oh, here we go.
Ba 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 ba. All that crap. Wake up the echoes. Win one for the Gipper and all that. But yeah, I mean they're gonna come out there with that all and all that crap that always comes with Notre Dame. Which if you don't like Notre Dame, it's crap. If you do, it's amazing, tremendous history and nostalgia. But they are, yes, they're going to play the underdog card, the disrespect card, which everyone does from Pop Warner to the pros.
Okay, is it going to be enough? No.
I mean, mean, that might carry you for a quarter.
It might. But that's the thing. Once the emotion settles down, that's the thing about these great speeches. And they are. When right. you win, you know, you see these great coach speeches before the game. In the third quarter, you don't even remember what coach said. You're in the battle, man. You're right. you're playing. That stuff doesn't resonate until after the game. And so I'm with you. You know, that rah, you feel that emotion. It might carry him for 6-8 minutes. But after that, you got to go play. And if my talent, and we're better than you, it's going to show.
But for the Irish in this era of the, you know, again, they just played in the Final Four. They just played in the semifinal game last season. For them to be a 14-point road dog is something.
All right, man, it's Dukes and Bell. Hey, more about the dogs coming up. Speaking about the dogs, we're going to get a chance to talk to David Pollack coming up at 4 o'clock. ESPN college football analyst will join us, guys, and we will break down this matchup and get his thoughts about up front. Because, again, Mike, for me, that's where this is about. They have some really good skill players as well. It is Notre Dame, guys. But up front, I just don't think they match up with us.
And great news that Isaiah Wilson has been practicing. I mean, like, they've got the depth at offensive line, but still, to have that kind of a road paver coming off one end. So good news for the for dog fans. Brad Nessler, by the way, who's going to call the game with Gary Danielson. CBS has got it primetime. We're going to be out at the Grindhouse. I believe Ness is going to stop by. So come by and see us over on South Lumpkin Street, guys. That'll be, what, 2 to 7? I guess Andy and Randy will be there, too, eating some burgers, having some fun. And they got Hey Man Ale there. It's going to be, this weekend in Athens is going to be electric.
It really is. All right, man, we're going to come back. You get to choose one guy. We're winding the season down. I'm going to give you my candidates, and then I want you to choose who's the MVP on this Braves team next.
Adam, we're going outside him. Inside him, outside him. And when we get him on a run once, we're going to keep him on a run. And we're not going to pass unless our secondary comes up too close. But don't forget, man, we're going to get him on a run. We're going to go.
Someday when the team's up against it, Brakes are beating the boys. Ask them to go in there with all they've got. Win just one for the Kipper. I don't know where I'll be then, but I'll know about it.
This is why you have the lore of Notre Dame.
Yep.
Those moments, Mike, mm-hmm. still makes me laugh, though.
My old man right now is having to go, don't you dare laugh at the Kip. I'm up here right now drinking a Maker's with him. Yeah, the old man loved Notre Dame. I hate Notre Dame. I told you a million times. The only thing my old man and I never saw eye to eye with.
Notre Dame?
On sports. Yeah, he loved it. He loved it. He was one of those like New York or Boston or Philly or Chicago people that just loved the Irish, man. You know, Irish Catholic upbringing, loved Notre Dame.
Yeah, I also think, again, those movies, like The Superstation, helped the Braves.
Right.
Those movies helped Notre Dame.
Right.
And the folklore that goes with supporting Notre Dame and rooting for them. And by the way, you know what? Growing up, you rooted for Notre Dame, you were rooting for the good guys. That's what it felt like.
See, that's the thing, my old man and I, because you and I have had this discussion before whenever Notre Dame comes up, and it usually does because they get the juice in the polls because, obviously, look, I mean, they built their brand, and hats off to their athletic director years ago that made that ridiculous contract with NBC. And, again, that was on the heels of the Lou Holtz Notre Dame that was legitimate. You can't say that about the Brian Kelly Notre Dame. They're not legitimate. You know, the Manti Te'o Notre Dame got humiliated on national television by Alabama, as we all talked about a few days ago. But in this case, I don't know, you know, how badly Georgia's going to beat them. I just don't think they can hang with Georgia. I think Georgia fans, aside from not winning the national championship, you got a reason to puff your chest out because you've got everything that Alabama and Clemson has right now. You've just got to, you know, dot the I, cross the T, win the natty. But do you feel me on Notre Dame? To me, it's just, when I was a kid, I always thought, heard these stories, Carl, that, you know, working class, and this is when the East Coast football was the establishment, and this small little school in the middle of nowhere with Newt Rockne, they built this thing up, and right. they thumbed their nose. And that's like a great working class story, and you can get your head around that. We can all embrace that. But fast forward to 2019, they are the establishment. They're the snobs. They're the people that, through their privilege, monkey their way into a Final Four they rarely deserve to be in.
Yeah. And last year, we forget, you know, Clemson beats them. And this was the Georgia team that thought they were more deserving. And many of those Georgia players tweeted out, you know, fraud.
Right.
You know.
But I don't like that either, and you don't, because, look, two losses to your best opponents is not a resume builder for Georgia.
You can't do it. But you know, that was the notion when Clemson had them down 20-0 at halftime, right, is that the dogs are looking at this game and going, man, that should be us. You know, just like, you know, Mike is always talking about, we would have got a better matchup with the Saints in the Super Bowl if they were playing New England. And maybe we would have. But they didn't get there. The dogs didn't get there. And I think that's the thing, is that there was a lot of frustration. And then the dogs go on and lose to Texas in the Sugar Bowl. So, you know, you can't talk that and then turn right back around and lose to the Sugar Bowl to Texas after you talk about how deserving you were.
And then play the Alabama card. Well, we were obviously not really focused because you know, you can't play that. You know, the other team got up for it and you didn't.
But here's the thing, and we'll talk to David Pollack coming up at 4 o'clock. Notre Dame's a blue blood. That's part of this with college football, and that's why this game seems so big. I'm going to tell you guys right now, Georgia's better. Now, are they going to play that way Saturday? We'll see. But they're better at almost every position, Mike, in my opinion. The quarterback position, Ian Book, will give them a chance to be in the game. But I don't think this is even close, to be honest with you, and especially playing at home in that environment in Athens. So, you know, this is the perception around the country is, oh, Notre Dame's going to Athens. Mm-hmm. Big game. Notre Dame's not as good as Georgia, at least not right now. Now, in 2017, when Georgia went up there, different story. You brought this up. Fromm's, you know, just starting. You really didn't know what to expect. Yeah, you had Sony and Chubb in the backfield, but there was a lot of unknowns with that team that ultimately flourished into what we saw playing for a national championship. The team that goes on the road wins the Rose Bowl in spectacular fashion.
Right.
We didn't know that when they went up to Notre Dame and win 2019 and, you know, get the sack and the fumble at the end of the game and we're going bananas. But that's what it turned into. This team, to me, is even more established in many areas that team wasn't.
Right, and that's why I think if you're a Georgia fan, Fromm's got two more years under his belt now by the time we get to this game. You look at the receiver core, and you look at the, you know, I know we have to replace Chubb and Michelle, but certainly with DeAndre Swift and Zamir White and everybody else, and three other and guys that can start for any other team in the SEC, let alone in the country. You know, an offensive line, which it's not just Georgia fans, you know, puffing their chest out. Everyone's touting this as the best offensive line, and maybe for the first time when you go head to head, if you can handle your business, no slip ups, you'll actually maybe come into a battle with Alabama with a little more bullets in the gun, which is something you haven't been able to say.
It is Dukes and Bell, guys. More on the Dogs as we continue to talk about this matchup with Notre Dame coming up Saturday. I want to shift gears and talk about our Braves. The NFL Blitz is on the way in about 10 minutes from now. You get one guy, okay? And I'm going to give you my five candidates for the most valuable player on this team. Last night, if you missed it, Ronald Acuna now, 37 stolen bases, right? Three away from 40. Mm-hmm. And he also has 39 home runs, which is one away from 40. So with the amount of games left, again, very possible, and I think it's doable that he's going to get 40-40, becoming the fifth guy ever in Major League Baseball to do it. At the leadoff spot, and I just want to put this in perspective, Mike, this is what's amazing. Ronald Acuna is going to have over 100 RBI if this thing plays out. He's got 97 right now. In the leadoff spot, you go look at some of the best all-time leadoff hitters. That is just not what happens. All right, Ricky Henderson stole bases. He had a great average. He wasn't driving in over 100 runs. And so when you look at what Acuna's done, it is special. It is a milestone if he gets to 40-40, which I think he does. And it also puts him in this conversation. We're just talking about the Braves, not the league, guys. As Braves fans, most people look at Freddie Freeman and how consistent he's been all season long and what he's doing, and you look at his numbers across the board, he should be in the national conversation for MVP. And we said this. We've run away now with this division. We're going to win it. We're back in the playoffs. But a guy that has carried us, maybe not even quietly, is Josh Donaldson. And he, time and time again, has come up with big hits, carried the team in days where Freddie was not there or even when Riley, you know, tailed off. All those months as we've gone through this season and you're going, well, boy, we need somebody to step up. Josh Donaldson. So he is in the conversation. There are two pitchers, guys, and they're both young. Soroka and Freed. Freed's been here from the jump, from day one. Soroka came up, obviously, but one of those guys is the MVP of this team this season.
It's Freddie.
Hands down.
Freddie, hands down for me. I think Acuna had a few little, you know, wobbles here and there. And I think if you want to do a tiebreaker, Carl, because you can make the case for all the guys you just laid out. But if you want to make a case for Freddie puts bat on the ball. Even against the shift, he's able to get a hit. He can go opposite field for you. Acuna's got what? He's got 60 more strikeouts than Freddie. Donaldson's got 30 more. Donaldson is batting 260, and Freddie's batting 300. Freddie's my MVP. And again, he played 151 games. All the guys played 151. Josh, three games less. Freddie's my MVP.
Yeah, the amount of games are all about even. You know, in the heart of the lineup, the thing is, especially with this lineup, for a guy like Donaldson, are you seeing the pitches that you're going to see if you didn't have Freddie in front of you? You know,
right.
And the way things have played out.
And Ronald, and Albies is helping out Ronald, too, because how many times have we seen Albies deliver the goods? Albies is having a fantastic year.
With Markakis, you know, and the injury to Markakis. So, yeah, if it's Freddie and Mike, here's the thing. I love Acuna. You guys know that. And he's been amazing, and I think this is an amazing accomplishment. I got to agree. I mean, you know, the guy in his at-bats, when you talk about runs, over 173 hits this season. Now, Ozzie has more. But for what Freddie's done this year and done it quietly, you know, the guy just doesn't say a whole lot.
Well, that's just it. If you put Freddie, again, this is like the argument for a guy like Tommy Nobis, you know, back in the day when we talk about the Hall of Fame. You put a guy like Freddie in a Yankee uniform, he's the Yankee Clipper part two. You know what I mean? Because he's so consistent. He'd be their Jeter. You know what I mean? That's the job that that Freddie does. So, yes. And he's not a butcher. I mean, he's great. How many times does he save, you know, bang, bang plays at first base with scoops? And I mean, he can do it all. That's why we think Freddie's the MVP.
Sorokin Fried, here's the part about this, and we'll get to our NFL Blitz coming up. It's Dukes and Bell. When you pitch every 5 days, you have to be dominant. At the end of the season, you got to be 20-5, Mike, with a 1.3 ERA. They're really good. They haven't been that dominant to be in that conversation where you go, they've affected our club this much. The Randy Johnsons of the world, the Roger Clemens, when they're rolling, that's the kind of record in the ERAs they have.
Because of the load management with the innings, I get you. Soroka, though, ERA-wise, I mean, he's up there with DeGrom. You know how good DeGrom was with all not having the wins and still winning the Cy Young. And Max Fried, if the bullpen didn't screw up, he'd have 20 wins for you right now.
It is Dukes and Bell.
On late duty one night when they brought in a badly wounded pilot from one of the raids. Last thing he said to me, Doc, he said, sometime crew is up against it. The brakes are beating the boys. Tell them to get out there and give it all they've got. And win just one for the zipper. I don't know where I'll be then, Doc, he said. That won't smell too good, that's for sure.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.